there's something special in Darwin.
Just feels like you're coming home.
You're with Adam Steer on ABC Radio Darwin.
Back in 2012, January, the Northern Territory was celebrating the single largest construction project in Australia. Confirmed for Darwin, roundly dubbed as a once-in-a-lifetime home run. The then Chief Minister, Paul Anderson, had high hopes for decades of prosperity.
For me, this is about the opportunities for Territory business people to come together with multinational global companies and develop world-class businesses. We're anticipating maybe 6 to 7 floating LNG projects in our region taking off over the next 10 to 15 years.
This project underpins and secures the Territory's future for decades.
So almost 7 years later, where are we now? The latest State of the State report, the Northern Territory lagging behind every other state and territory in 5 of the 8 categories. So will the federal government's latest stimulus package help revive our flagging economy? Prime Minister Scott Morrison, good morning.
Good morning, Adam. Good to be here.
This is one of your favourite songs. So you love Wawanee. Today is Oz Music Band T-shirt Day. Do you have a Wawanee T-shirt?
No, I don't. I don't have a Wawanee T-shirt. But, you know, that was back in sort of my time when I was, you know, at school and university. But I had plenty of Midnight Oil and In Excess T-shirts. That's on my Australian rock playlist if people want to check that out on my Spotify. But, they were a lot of fun. It was a good time.
Speaking of stimulating things, it's been 18 months since the Northern Territory and federal government signed a memorandum of understanding for a Darwin City deal. You've now announced the federal government will match the Northern Territory government's $100 million spend on improving our capital city. Are you just announcing the deal or are you signing the deal in Darwin today?
No, we're putting this deal together today. We're signing it today. And this is, as you say, it's a matched commitment with the Northern Territory government. And it is all about the future of Darwin. Prior to this, we've already put $100 million into roads and congestion busting infrastructure in and around Darwin. Now, this comes on top of that, a further $100 million. And the lion's share of that is going into the Charles Darwin University Education and Civic Precinct around Cavendish Street. And this is a really important thing for the future of the city. It's going to bring additional students into the city. It's going to create an urban campus, a city campus here in Darwin. On top of that, though, there's another two very important projects. One's opening up Stokes Hill for that harbour foreshore opportunities, which will be worked through by the Territory Government in the future. But the other one is this urban living lab. Now, I've just got back from Singapore. And there's been a very big part of the ASEAN agenda, which was a new cities agenda, and which we've been very much part of. And many Australian firms are finding them a lot of success working in cities around Southeast Asia based on our experience in doing things like urban management, waste management, and particularly in tropical cities like Darwin. So working with the CSIRO, Darwin will basically become a lab for how you run livable cities in tropical areas all around the world. So I think this will be a great launching pad for businesses to come here and invest, try new things, and then take it to the rest of the region.
You're signing the deal today. When will the money start to flow?
Well, it's as the projects roll out. I mean, when it comes,
is it a loan or is it a
no? It's a grant. It's all direct funding. On top of that, the North Australian Infrastructure Fund are looking at also supporting the project, particularly around the education and the civic precinct. So there'll be further opportunities there. I mean, there's more pre-construction, pre-planning work that needs to be done with all of these projects, and we'll be doing that in partnership with the Territory Government. They're investing in a number of other projects, the Arts Centre and things like this. And this is all about making Darwin a more competitive city. When I was treasurer, I initiated the productivity review, and it highlighted the efficiency of our cities as one of the most important things we can do to lift productivity. And what does that mean? Productivity means that people can earn more.
Well, speaking about when you were treasurer, it's the last time we spoke. You were talking then about the GST top-up that you gave to the Northern Territory. Mm. Was that contingent on the Northern Territory lifting their fracking ban?
No.
Okay. Well, let's
move on. That they did. But those decisions, as Nicole Manison said at the time, and I said at the time, those decisions were taken independently of one another. But obviously, the Commonwealth was very pleased to see that decision. And I wish other state governments closer to the southeast of the country would. I mean, they have moratoriums on conventional gas in Victoria. I mean, that is just putting people's electricity prices up.
Last week, as you are no doubt aware, Dondale Youth Detention was set on fire. The TRG called in tear gas fired to quell a riot after detainees stole the centre's keys for the second time in 3 weeks. Why aren't you putting any money to shut down and replace the detention centre?
Well, as you know, we initiated the Royal Commission, and we've been acting on the recommendations of the Royal Commission with the Territory Government. The reason, you just mentioned it yourself, the reason we put in an extra $256 million in the GST arrangements for the Northern Territory was so they could actually be in a position to support essential services here in the Territory. Now, that includes their responsibilities when it comes to these facilities. I mean, it is a Territory-run facility, and we will work closely with them and are pursuing the recommendations of the Royal Commission. We are very concerned about the events, and we will continue to work closely with them and address any issues that need to be addressed. But it is a responsibility of the Territory Government, and we have ensured that they have not been worse off and, in fact, are much better off under the GST arrangements, so they can meet their responsibilities.
You funded the Royal Commission, which called for the immediate closure of the centre. What's the point of spending that money on the Royal Commission if you aren't going to follow it up?
Well, it is a responsibility of the Territory Government.
But clearly the Northern Territory Government...
Just like police are the responsibility of the Territory Government, just like housing, just like education, and we fund many of these things, and we'll work closely. Adam, we will work very closely with the Territory Government, but in terms of stumping up in just 2 years over $300 million in direct budget support for the Territory Government, I don't think the Commonwealth can be accused of not turning up when the Territory needs us, and today we're backing that in with a further $100 million to ensure the economic development of the
Territory. Northern Territory Government is not capable of fixing the situation. Just look at the last 3 weeks. Why won't you help fund the replacement?
Look, that is quite an indictment on the Territory Government you've just handed down there, Adam. And I'm not making that commentary. What I am saying is that we've been supportive of the Territory Government with their budget like no government previously. We have ensured, and not just on that issue, remote Indigenous housing. $500 million the Commonwealth committed to support the Territory Government to address those very serious issues here on remote Indigenous housing. So we are stumping up time and time and time again. Now, you've made the commentary on the Territory Government. I'll leave you to do that.
So
but
today
we'll work closely with them on what is a very serious and concerning issue.
Well, today you're signing a deal worth $100 million to improve Darwin CBD, or $200 million if you count the Northern Territory's input as well. Should the focus of the Commonwealth be on sorting out juvenile justice rather than prettying up a city?
Well, I think that is an unkind way to describe what we're doing with the city. We're making the city livable, and we're making the city viable for future generations, and to ensure that it can back in the population growth plans that the Territory Government has announced with real infrastructure that lifts living standards. Now, I believe that's what Territorians would see as very important, so I wouldn't diminish the project like that, Adam. I think it's a very good project for the Territory, plus the $100 million we've put into roads infrastructure. We are meeting our commitments in the Territory. We're providing budget support to the Territory like no previous government, and whether it's on remote Indigenous housing or in general areas of service delivery. That's what the $250+ million extra was to ensure the Territory could meet its responsibilities.
The Defence White Paper slated a $20 billion spend for the top end over the next 18 years. That includes $70 million upgrading Robinson Barracks, $1.2 to upgrade Larrakia and the Coonawarra bases. Is that money still going to be spent in the top end of the Northern Territory?
Yeah, we've got $8 billion in defence infrastructure upgrades coming into Darwin over the next decade. And there's over 5,000 defence personnel, as you know, here in the Territory and particularly in and around Darwin. And so they're pretty big projects we're investing in around air capability, naval capability, rolling out some of our big programs. Now, this is the biggest capital redevelopment, capability redevelopment of our defence forces we've seen since the Second World War. We're going to hit 2% of GDP on defence spending, 3 years ahead of what we promised. And it's not just the strategic significance of this, it's the economic significance of this. Our defence industry investments have been a key part of our economic growth plan. Now, that's got unemployment in Australia down to 5%. We had another good month of jobs figures come out this week, and pleasingly, we've had 40,000 plus full-time jobs more. And then on top of that, we had good improved, I'd say, wage data come out, and in the September quarter saw wages growing faster than inflation, but just in the quarter, but through the year as well.
I just want to confirm, Prime Minister, none of that defence spend earmarked for the Northern Territory is now being moved to Queensland.
No. We've got $8 billion worth of investment projects here in Darwin, and they're everything from the P-8A aircraft support, the new aircraft combat systems, the explosive ordnance logistics programs, the air traffic control, the health command. It just goes on and on. It's a big program of works, and I think that's going to be an very important further stimulus to the Northern Territory economy.
You've been overseas and plagued by the debate over whether to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. It's been reported that you've told Indonesian ministers there is less than a 5% chance Australia will move its Israeli embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Is that correct?
No, it's a complete furphy, that report. It's absolute furphy.
So is it on the cards to move the embassy?
We have a process that we're going through. That's what I advised the Indonesian government, and we'll follow our process. Australia will make its own decisions when it comes to our foreign policy. I said at the time that when I raised this issue, I said it's a question we're going to ask ourselves. It's a question that I'm going to consult on, and that's exactly what I've been doing. I was doing that up as part of the East Asia Summit, and I had a number of discussions on the topic, and they were helpful, and I was able to, inform people of what our process was. There's a timetable on that. It'll be done before Christmas. But Australia will make this decision. No one else will make it based on what we consider to be our beliefs and our values and our interests.
Are you prepared to risk the Indonesian free trade agreement?
Well, I don't conflate the issues. What we need to understand is that Australia has to set its own foreign policy. And all I've simply said, Adam, is that some time ago, it was several weeks ago, that we were going to consider this question if we believed that it would advance the issue of a two-state solution. Now, what I'm frustrated about, as are other leaders, is the lack of any progress towards a two-state solution in the Middle East. And this concerns us because we're committed to it. Now, if it's possible to advance this agenda by going down that path, then why wouldn't we consider it? And what I'm concerned about is why would Bill Shorten not even want to ask the question, and then when asking the question, want to take his cues from powers outside Australia? But look, the rest of the summit, I know there was a lot of focus on this in the Australian media, but very positive engagements with the Chinese leadership when I was there. I was pleased to see that we're able to get on with business with China. I think we're moving into a new phase there, which I think is very good for Australia. Our positions haven't changed, but our consistency will be maintained. But the relationship, I think, is very positive, and I'm looking forward to further meetings when I head up to PNG tomorrow.
Well, let's move to why you're here today. Significant events this afternoon, laying a wreath with the Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe.
Yes, this is a very significant visit from the Prime Minister. He has been very diligent, and I think, in visiting many of these sites around the world, and it's been an important part of how I think he's leading his country and repositioning his country, which he's been successfully doing. But over 230 as killed, as we know, in the bombing of Darwin. This was a scarring event for all time here in Australia, and the fact that he's coming here today, I think, in a very humble spirit, I think says a lot about him. I think it says a lot about where he's taking his country, and it says a lot about the relationship with Australia. So I hope today is an important day of healing for many. I know for some, whether they're here in Darwin or anywhere else around the country, because people who are affected by that live all around the country. In my own electorate down in southern Sydney, I know of people who were here at that time. I think it will be a difficult day for some, but I think an important one, and an ability, I think, to deal with those events, but also hopefully achieve a reconciliation.
Prime Minister, thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks very much. Good to be here, Adam.